Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it is December the 25th, 2007. Merry Christmas to you. We're so thankful to be a part of your life on this special and holy day. And we pray that you'll be gloriously changed by the message of Christmas today. We're thankful to be with you. We've been in a marvelous series last week and the first couple of days of this week on the titles of Jesus, the names of Jesus that reveal who he is and what it is he wants to do in our lives. Today, Derek's going to be talking about the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's listen.
So far this week, we've studied three titles of Jesus. First, Wonderful Counselor. Second, Prince of Peace. Third, the Word of God. The title that we're going to study today is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was sent before Jesus as his forerunner to prepare the way before him. And when the time came for John to introduce Jesus publicly to Israel, that was how he described him, the Lamb of God. Let's look at the account in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. The next day John, that's John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." So John the Baptist came to prepare Israel and to reveal to them their Messiah. And when he gave them this revelation, the phrase he used was, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What does this title, this particular title, the Lamb of God, tell us about Jesus? I suggest to you that there are three main associations in Scripture of a lamb. And remember that Israel were very familiar with that particular creature, the lamb. It had played an absolutely unique part in their history from the time of their exodus from Egypt onwards. So there was not a single Israelite there listening to John for whom that word, lamb, did not have a very special meaning. Here are the three associations that I see in the lamb. First of all, the lamb is a picture of meekness. The lamb is not an animal that fights. It doesn't have talons or claws or fangs. It's a meek animal. Secondly, it's a picture of purity. You go out in the fields at springtime and look at the newborn lambs, and they look so white and clean and fluffy. There's something about them that makes you just want to pick them up and cuddle them. You just love that pure white. And then the lamb, and this is the most important of all, in the history of Israel was God's appointed sacrifice to provide redemption and protection. For the Jewish people, the lamb was particularly associated with one of their most solemn and important religious commemorations, one that is still celebrated all over the world today by Jewish people, the Passover, Pesach. Here's the original account of how God intended Israel to celebrate the Passover, as given to Israel through Moses. It's recorded in Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 23. And you'll see that the whole Passover, as originally ordained by God, centers around a lamb. Without a lamb, there can be no Passover as it was originally ordained by God through Moses. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, He will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. So the entire deliverance of Israel from judgment and wrath depended on the lamb and its blood, and they had to apply the blood upon the outside of the houses where they lived. Well, this picture of the lamb was fulfilled in Jesus. First of all, we have a prophetic picture in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. There's the picture of meekness. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. A good many years ago, I worked on a farm with sheep, and I noticed how amazingly accurate that is. When you take a sheep to be shorn, it will bleat loudly all the way until you actually take the shears and start clipping off the wool. And at that moment, the sheep becomes absolutely silent. So how accurate the scripture is. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he, Jesus, did not open his mouth. And this is recorded in the Gospels, just to see its fulfillment. Mark 14, verses 55 and 56, and then 60 and 61. The account of Jesus before the Sanhedrin. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. There he was, the sheep before the shearers. And then again the same before Pilate, the Roman governor. Mark 15, verses 3 through 5. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. That's the Lamb of God. The blood of the Passover lamb redeemed Israel out of Egypt. But the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, provides eternal redemption for all who believe. It took the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, God's sinless, eternal Son, to provide eternal redemption. The blood of the Passover lamb was a type, a figure. It provided temporary redemption. It had to be renewed every year. But when Jesus shed his blood and entered into the holiest, that was once and for all. It never had to be repeated. He had obtained eternal redemption. And finally, let's see that the nature of Jesus as the Lamb of God sets us an example and a pattern that we need to learn to follow in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. There he is, the spotless, meek Lamb of God, standing before his accusers, offering no defense, no retaliation." That's the Lamb nature in the Son of God. And God makes it very clear that we who are believers and followers of Jesus have got to reproduce that Lamb nature. He set us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. That's part of the nature of Jesus that God wants to work in each one of us.
I love that great statement by John the Baptist, where he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's who Jesus is, and that's what he wants to do for you on this Christmas. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Christmas is a wonderful time to share with family, to give gifts, and to thank God for the blessings that have come through His Son, Jesus. In his heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek Prince shares his extraordinary first-hand account of the harrowing yet glorious days in December of 1947, a time in which he, his wife Lydia, and their 9 adopted daughters found themselves caught in a spiritual and literal crossfire during the days leading up to the birth of Israel as a nation. As Derek recounts, "Looking back over that stormy Christmas, I realized that it taught me the very real message of Christmas, stripped of all of its externals and non-essentials. That message is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe you'll find it very meaningful in the days to come. So we would like to send you a copy of
A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, absolutely free. Call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget that you still have plenty of time to support the outreach of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Merry Christmas to you. We pray today that Christ may be formed in you afresh. We're listening to Derek Prince teach us all about the names of Jesus. We've learned about Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Word of God. We've learned about Lamb of God, and now we're about to hear him teach us about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. What a perfect teaching on a perfect day.
Today, I've deliberately chosen a title that is in the strongest possible contrast with the Lamb of God. Our title for today is The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. What two creatures could be in greater contrast to each other than the Lamb and the Lion? Yet Jesus combines both within himself. This illustrates a principle that I've already stated this week. Each title of Jesus reveals some important aspect of his wonderful, many-sided nature. This title, The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. In this chapter, John the Revelator describes a scene which he was permitted in vision to witness in heaven. It's a scene of majesty and grandeur. It portrays the very throne of God. And this is what John saw there in the place where God's throne stands. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. This scroll was the revelation of that which lay ahead in human history and destiny up to the close of the present age. And of course, John longed to know what God was seeking to reveal. But the lesson here is that strength does not prevail to open the scroll. Though it was a mighty angel who proclaimed in a loud voice, no one responded. No one was worthy. So John was deeply grieved. He says, "I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, that's Jesus. He's also the Root of David, the one out of whom David received his kingly authority. Now John looks toward the throne, expecting to see this lion, but he sees something very different. "Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." You see the deliberate paradox? Jesus is proclaimed as the lion, but when John looks, he sees a slain lamb. John continues now about the lamb and the lion. "He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You remember that when we spoke yesterday about the Lamb of God, we pointed out that it was through the Lamb's blood that redemption was provided. The Passover Lamb provided temporary redemption, but Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Lamb of God, provides eternal redemption through his blood. So you see, again, the deliberate paradox. The Lamb has become the Lion. Also, in connection with that title, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, notice that this is an eternal picture and an eternal title of Jesus. It's no longer Jesus in his mere humanity, but it's Jesus exalted forever at God's right hand. But he's still called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That's very significant. Many people don't realize, but Judah is the name from which the word Jew is taken. Jesus did not identify himself with humanity temporarily in the incarnation. He became man forever without losing his identity as God. Furthermore, his identity with the Jewish people was not temporary. He is forever the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He has a special connection with that people, the Jewish people. Now let's look at some scriptural associations of the lion that are found in the book of Proverbs. First of all, the lion inspires fear. Proverbs 19:12. A king's rage is like the roar of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. So Jesus is the lion whose roar inspires fear. But thank God, his favor is like the dew on the grass. And then the lion is pictured as fearless. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So boldness is a part of that nature. And then the lion is pictured as irresistible. In Proverbs 30:29-31, four particularly stately or impressive creatures are pictured. The first, the most impressive, is the lion. Here are the words. There are three things that are stately in their stride. Four that move with stately bearing. A lion, mighty among beasts, who retreats before nothing. A strutting rooster, a he-goat, and a king with his army around him. Notice the lion, mighty among beasts, who retreats before nothing. Jesus is the irresistible, all-conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So the lion contains great strength. He's fearful, he's awe-inspiring. We could be frightened of him, but there's a beautiful lesson. If we receive the Lamb, we don't need to fear the lion. In this composite picture of Jesus as the Lamb and the Lion, there's an eternal principle represented. The principle is this, that in God's economy, meekness is the appointed way to true strength. That's very different from human viewpoints. God says, if you want to be strong, you've got to become weak. If you want to be exalted, you've got to be lowly.
Don't you love the paradoxes of Christianity? That Jesus is both a lamb and a lion? That in order to be strong, you've got to be weak? If you want to be exalted, you have to be lowly? I love those spiritual truths, and I love that they confound our earthly thinking. So much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Christmas is a wonderful time to share with family, to give gifts, and to thank God for the blessings that have come through His Son, Jesus. In his heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek Prince shares his extraordinary first-hand account of the harrowing, yet glorious days in December of 1947, a time in which he, his wife Lydia, and their nine adopted daughters found themselves caught in a spiritual and literal crossfire during the days leading up to the birth of Israel as a nation. As Derek recounts, "Looking back over that stormy Christmas, I realized that it taught me the very real message of Christmas, stripped of all of its externals and non-essentials. That message is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe you'll find it very meaningful in the days to come. So we would like to send you a copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, absolutely free. Call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, Call 888-737-0771. And don't forget that you still have plenty of time to support the outreach of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Delighted that you're with us today. Again, Merry Christmas. And let's get right to the Word of God, where Derek is teaching us about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 20-25, speaking about the kind of people whom God receives as his own. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now notice the application. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. That's all represented in the Lamb. It's foolishness to the natural mind. But in that Lamb is contained the ultimate revelation of God's wisdom and of God's strength. And then listen to what Paul says about his own experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7-10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's the lesson, the Lamb and the Lion. You want to be strong with God's strength? You've got to be weak in your own strength. You want to be exalted? You have to be humbled. The way to become a lion is to start as a lamb. That's the wisdom of God. It's foolishness with men. That's the strength of God, its weakness in man's eyes. But thank God, Jesus proved once and for all that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. It's all summed up in the Lamb who became the Lion.
Marvelous, marvelous teachings from the Word of God. Thank the Lord. Listen, we want you to have a marvelous Christmas as well. And I want you to do something. I want you to find some time to yourself today. I know Christmas is busy. I know there are places to go over to Grandma's house or go see friends or play with toys or watch the games. All of that's wonderful. All of it's blessed. But I want you to find just a few minutes in this day. And I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. And I want you to ask him to come into your life afresh. I believe that the Advent season, the weeks leading up to Christmas, and that Christmas in particular, is a time for a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God and the presence of Jesus. And I want you to find just 5 minutes to ask the Lord to do that in your life. Merry Christmas to you. And from everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, we love you, we pray for you. Be sure and join us tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To request your copy of Derek's heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And take this opportunity to show your support of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or request your free copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.